Well, good morning. It is great to be able to see you guys. And today we're going to be talking about, as we said before, faithfulness. Now, we were going through, for some of you who are guests or just coming in with us, we've been taking this summer to look at what real spiritual maturity is. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of folks who talk about, I've been in church for a long time, I've been spiritual, blah, 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 blah. But you look at their life and you go, that's no kind of Christian that I want to be or that I see. In fact, a lot of times, if you're someone or you know someone who said, you know, I've been in church and I don't want anything to do or deal with that, it's because they've seen believers that claim to have been, you know, they've gone to church for a long time, but they're not really becoming mature. They're not moving on in their spiritual life. So we're taking 10 weeks this summer to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And you see in your notes, if you have them there, if you can kind of go along, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and then today, faithfulness. Now, you see in your notes there, for some of you kind of been in and out, I want to just kind of recap for you where we've been. And if you weren't with us last week, by the way, and I wasn't either, obviously, but if you were here, you got to hear the new pastor. The church voted on Wayne Bray coming in. If you missed that message, you can listen to it online, and we also have some CDs of it as well. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, and let me just pick it up here. By the way, somewhere in all of our moving stuff around, my table has disappeared. So you guys will have to be patient with me this morning. Love is a commitment in action. It's not the emotion, feeling sort of thing. And we walked all the way through that, how the foundation of all of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is the assurance that God is working His plan in my life. And that's a tough one because a lot of times we don't really understand His plan. We may not like His plan. But until you can really rest in the assurance that God's working His plans, you'll never know real joy, especially in the hard times. And peace is a fearless resting in the hand of God. Patience is trusting God's timing. We talked about how some of us are a little bit better at that than others. Then 2 weeks ago, we looked at kindness and goodness. Kindness is demonstrating God's love, and goodness is God's holiness in action. Now, today we're dealing with this enormous topic of faith and faithfulness. The Greek word here is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, transliterated into English. Now, this is a huge concept. In the different forms, when you talk about faith and believe, it's that same word. Faith is the noun, believe is the verb. So when I believe in God, I have faith in Him. And this is a core understanding of what Christianity is all about. It is about faith in what God has done, not working our way up to Him. So, well, bless your heart, Mark. Thank you. You found it. And no. All right, let's give Mark a big hand here if we're doing that. All right. the word is constantly used in Scripture. So if you don't understand faith, you don't understand real Christianity. Every other religion is about being good enough and working your way up to God. The Christian faith is about, and we call it the Christian faith. It is about believing in what He has done. Now, when we have faith, we act in a faithful manner. Colin Brown is a New Testament scholar. He's written this three-volume set on the Dictionary of the New Testament. It's called Dictionary of New Testament Theology. He takes every single word in the New Testament and gives an explanation or definition of it. So sometimes on some of the words, there's a couple of paragraphs on what this word means and everything. When he got to the word pistis, or faith, he has 18 pages. talking about this one word. So we're just going to scratch the surface this morning. But guys, there's hardly anything that is more important than our understanding of faith and faithfulness. Now, all the modern translations translate this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 as faithfulness. It is a living that out. And that's because this is one of the few words in this whole list. As you know, we kind of walk through love. God's kind of love is not the world's kind of love. God's peace is not the world's peace, on and on and on. Faithfulness was a commonly understood term back then. Just like if I ask you to write down a definition of what being faithful is, or being faithful, you know, what faithfulness is, we'd all come up with something pretty similar. William Barclay said this word, pistis, is common in secular Greek for trustworthiness. It's the characteristic of a man or a woman who's reliable. Guys, that's what faith is. When you look at the dictionary, it talks about steadfast in affection or allegiance, being loyal, firm in adherence to promises or observances. Synonyms are you're reliable, you're responsible. So let's just boil it down. Being faithful basically says you do what you say you will do. You're faithful. You keep your word, your promises. You're reliable. And again, it comes from our faith, because guys, God is faithful. So I want us to look, first of all, at the faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 is a great verse in the Old Testament where Jeremiah is just forlorn. It's just everything is absolutely falling apart. And he says this: because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. We're not overwhelmed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Some of you know the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is the verse that hymn came from. And if you're ever going through a really hard, tough time, I encourage you, Google the words of that hymn and sing it to him back. Because God is a faithful God. So the more you're like God, the more you're like Christ, the more faithful you will be. Every promise God has ever made, he has accomplished and followed through on. When Jesus is walking on the Emmaus Road with the disciples, and they're all confused, and they said, do you know there was this man Jesus, and we thought he was the Messiah, and then he was crucified, and he goes back and he walks through all of Moses and the prophets, of everything that pointed up to him, because God is a faithful God. So here's my handle for it. Here's my wording. Faithfulness is being reliable and true to your word. Faithfulness is being reliable and true to your word. And I think every one of us would go, yeah, that's a great idea. We want to be faithful. We want people to be faithful. But really living this out is going to take you to a whole nother level in your life and in your walk with the Lord. When you're given a task to do, faithful people follow through. You're responsible. And guys and women, we need faithful men and women in this body. This church will never go above and beyond faithful individuals who will say, you can count on me. Now, you guys know, every week, and we're great, glad to have you there, folks. You'll come in, and they're checking us out, and they're looking here, and that's wonderful. But you can't build a church on that. We need folks who will be willing to say, I'm going to be faithful to God and faithful here, and you can count on me to be a part of what God is doing here. In our day and time, faithfulness is drifting away. But you know, this used to be a core component of what our society was like. Some of you heard me talk about my father-in-law, Pop. He's 88. He was telling me the story back when he was working on building his house back in the 40s. And he contracted with a man to roof the house. So in our day and time, this is a $3,000-$5,000, I don't know what it would be, $4,000 job. The man came out, he looked at it, he measured it. He goes, this is the kind of shingles I will put on. I will get it done by this date. This is how much it will cost. If you'll pay half up front so I can get the materials, you can pay me the other half when I'm done. Pop looked at it, they talked about it, they shook hands, and that was it. No paperwork, no contract, just shook hands. He said the next week, the man showed up, he gave him half the money in cash, no receipt, no nothing. The man showed up the next week, put on the shingles, did the job, he gave him the rest. I said, how did you, I knew the guy and he was a man of his word. And when we shook on it, it was done. Can you imagine doing that today? I wouldn't recommend it. But back then, there were a number of people that their word was their bond. Let me ask you, would people say that about you today? If you shake somebody's hand, you say something, can they count on you that you will do it just the way you said you would? And you're not cutting corners. You're not dodging. You actually get it done. You know, those kind of folks are hard to find. And by the way, they have been for a long time. Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 6 says this, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Have you ever known anybody who says they will do this or they'll do that, but they don't? You know, well, don't look at them. Just keep looking up and just nod and smile and nod. But those folks can be so difficult. Our middle son, Dave, the one we went out to California to see, was class president when he was in high school for a number of years. I think it was his junior year. It was one of the first years where they really had these responsibilities, and I forgot what they were doing. There was the student council of folks that he was leading, and they were pulling off the junior-senior prom or the homecoming float or something, but everybody had a responsibility, and he said they met the next week. Because it was critical time, things were coming up, and they got to one guy, I forgot what it was he was supposed to do, but he had a major responsibility, and they got to him and said, okay, well, how's this done? And he goes, I didn't do it. He said, what do you mean? He goes, I just didn't get to it. I didn't do it. Dave came home and goes, I don't get this. How do you look at a group of people and say, I'll get this done, and then just show up and go, I didn't do it. He goes, he didn't even lie about it. There was no excuse. He just didn't do it. I said, welcome to leadership. You're going to have people your whole life that you've said, hey, will you do this? Yeah, yeah. And then they drop the ball. How faithful are you? I wish you guys could have met my dad. He died a number of years ago, and he was a great man. He had a huge heart. He had one of those real outgoing personalities. He was incredibly funny. My youngest son, by the way, he's a full-time comedian, which is interesting. And he was telling some folks, he said, yeah, the comedy runs in my family. He goes, both my grandfathers are funny, and it skipped a generation. And then I'm going, what is this? My dad was hilarious, big heart. He would help anyone. You know, the guy who's the recovering alcoholic that nobody would give a job to, my dad ran a machine shop. He would give the guy another shot. I mean, he just had a huge heart. And he had no example of how to be a dad because his dad abandoned the family. My grandfather, who I never met, walked out and abandoned the family, my dad and his mom, when my dad was a young boy. And he was faithful to stay with his wife and family in a miserable marriage, and that's for another day. But all I would say is, for all those incredible qualities, and we didn't realize it at the time, but now we look back, and my sister and I have talked about it. My dad had adult ADD. Y'all ever know anybody with attention deficit? And some of you are going, yeah, I know some of those kind of folks. Again, don't look at them. Just keep looking up here. My dad was adult ADD, and unfortunately, he was off in every direction. So he'd try this project, and then he'd go there, and I'd do this, and I'd do that. And what I learned growing up was, though, that whatever my dad said, hey, I'll get that done, never got done. Oh, you can count on me here. We couldn't count on him there. So being faithful because of the hurt and the pain of growing up with that has become a major value for me personally. You battle any adult ADD? You ever feel like you're a little ADD sometimes? I think a lot of us do. But some more than others. And if you battle that, you're going to have to work on this trait maybe even more than some others. Because you mean well. I know my dad meant well. And you really want to follow through on what you're telling somebody. You just forget. You're off on something else. So you're going to have to learn to write things down. You're going to have to learn to put it in your phone. If you're ADD, set not one alarm, set two or three. You know, have it remind you 2 hours before and an hour before and 10 minutes before you're supposed to be someplace or to do something so that you're faithful. That you are where you're supposed to be doing what you need to do. Faithfulness is being reliable and true to your word. So, you ever wondered, how does God build faithfulness into your life? I mean, you know, we talked about patience. In every one of these, he puts us in difficult circumstances in order to bring that out. So, like patience, he puts you in situations where you're having to wait on God or learn to be patient with someone, and that happens all the time. Faithfulness is a little different. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me or you can look up here. This is from the New Living Translation, Luke 16:10-13. Now, the context of this passage is that Jesus is talking about money and finances. But he says this, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. So there's your basic principle. Now he's gonna sort of give the example, or this is all pointing to the finances, and we'll see that in context. I want you to know what Jesus was really pointing to. Then we're going to come back and unpack this principle of how you grow in faithfulness. And this will have huge implications for all of you who are parents. And for all of us as well. So if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities, or you won't be faithful with the greater responsibilities. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So the point here is, Jesus was making, is God has given you your finances as a test of faithfulness. And some people wonder, why isn't God doing more spiritually in my life? Why is not God not trusting me with greater things? And he goes, wait, I've given you something simple that's tangible. We don't think it's very simple, but God thinks it's so. That it's a simple thing of, I have trusted you with finances. These are not yours. They belong to me. And if you can't be faithful to serve me even with your finances, why would you expect God to give you more responsibilities and bigger, much more important things? And he chose finances because finances are a big deal for a lot of us. But the principle is this: when you're faithful in little things, then God and others give you more responsibility. This is how we grow in faithfulness. Parents, this is how you teach your children faithfulness or to be reliable. For example, parents, when you give your children a responsibility, make sure it fits their age and their capabilities and make them responsible for this. Then when they are responsible and they fulfill that, then you reward that, you acknowledge that, you praise them, and they get more responsibility, and with that more responsibility becomes more freedom. So let's say you have a teenage son, and he says he's just gotten his license. And he goes, Dad, can I take the car around the block? I just want to go around the block, drive by myself. You say yes. You give him the keys to the car. 20 minutes later, he shows back up with a Coke. And he goes, well, since I was driving around the block, I thought I'd just run down to the store. Now, the next night, he wants to take the car for the whole evening. Should he get the car for the whole evening? No. You see, if he wasn't responsible enough to drive the car around the block, the little thing, why would you trust him with the bigger thing? That makes sense? So God is, first of all, looking in, are you going to be responsible for the little things that you do, that you promise, that you commit to? And when you're faithful in those little things, God's going to give you bigger things. Same way with our children. Same thing, by the way, at work. Some of you are bosses, and you have folks working on you, or your coworkers. And let's say you guys have a coworker, and every time they're given an assignment, they always show up late with it. You know anybody like that? So if there's a big critical task or project that has got to be on time, do you think your boss is going to give it to that guy? No. So here's my question. Are you that employee? When the chips are down and your boss knows it is a critical project that's got to be done right and on time, are you the one he gives it to because he knows you're faithful? He may not believe in God at all. He may not understand anything of the Bible. But guess what? He understands faithfulness, or she understands faithfulness. Parents, this is where it gets tough with our kids. When you give your word to a child, follow through. Be faithful. I know a dad who, earlier in the week, this was years ago, he promised his son wanted to go out and wanted to go to McDonald's. What is it with kids in McDonald's? How do they keep a love for that place? Sorry, that's just a side note. Disregard that. The kid wanted to go to McDonald's, all right? And he said, I can't do it, but son, I'll take you to McDonald's and we'll get an ice cream on Saturday. So the son is looking forward to Saturday and getting an ice cream at McDonald's. Guess what dad did? He forgot. He was busy. Saturday was a full day of working around the house, mowing, all this other kind of stuff. And they get all the way. They were out late doing stuff. They got home. The kids were up real late. It was 10 o'clock at night. Mom was exhausted on her last nerve. You ever been there with kids? Late at night, it's 10 o'clock at night. And the little boy is in his pajamas. And he goes, "Dad, you promised we'd go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone." The wife goes, "You did what? You promised." He goes, "What? That was earlier in the week." And he said, everything within him wanted to be able to say, "I'm so sorry, I forgot." And he did. I say, "Well, I'm sorry, son, I forgot. We'll do it some other time." The last thing he wanted to do at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night was to go back out. The last thing his wife wanted him to do was to get the son riled up and back out at 10 o'clock at night. This is a faithful guy. He said, "Son, I'm sorry I forgot that. But we're going to McDonald's." So he grabbed his son, pajamas and all. When they're young, they don't care. At 10 o'clock at night, they go to McDonald's. They get an ice cream cone. They come back. The child is way past its bedtime. Got too little sleep that night. But you know what that child learned? That what my dad promises, my dad does. When we're faithful in little things, we can be trusted with greater things. Are you a faithful person? Have you promised things to your spouse that you just haven't gotten to or done? There are going to be times in our life, you see, when we start going to this kind of level and depth, we realize, guys, we all fall short. And it's not just to one another, but it's to God. You can't work on and be faithful enough to earn your way into anything. You can't be faithful enough to hit it all the time. That's why it takes grace, and that's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, when any of us, and especially when me, if I ever promise you something or say something and we're going to get this done or do that or whatever, and then I don't follow through, I want you to let me know, because this is a core value in my life and I want to get that right. Faithfulness is being reliable and true to your word. And it's based on our faith and trust in God. Hebrews 11:6. You know this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's believe Him. Let's trust Him. And then let's be faithful regardless of what it, you know, how bad we don't want to follow through at this particular point in time, that we do it. There are times in my life, and there may be times in yours right now, where you've told God, "God, you know I need to be spending time in your word every day. You can count on me this month. I'm going to be faithful to spend time with you." Are you doing it? You've told your spouse, "I'll get that cleaned up. I'll get that done. I know we're not handling the finances the way we need to, and I'm going to work on that." Are you doing it? This is where it gets hard. This is where it gets tough. And this is where you become more and more like Christ. And my prayer is that for every one of us, we grow and become that much more faithful men and women. So today, has God spoken to you in any area of your life? Is there anybody, a spouse, a child, a co-worker, God, that you've promised something to and you haven't followed through? Then today, in our invitation, would you just admit that to the Lord and just say, God, I've blown it. Is there somebody you need to go and apologize to? Yeah, there's some of you, you're sitting here right now, you know exactly, if you looked at your spouse and you said, is there something I promised or I've said I would do and I haven't done, you know exactly what your spouse would say. There have been times my wife would look and say, have you looked at the garage? We said, you know, whatever it is, you're going to get it cleaned up and it's still, just go look at the garage. When you're faithful in little, God will give you so much more. Let's take the next step today. And whether it's apologize, some of you, before you leave the service, you need to turn to somebody and apologize. And say, you know, I'm sorry. I told you I would get that done, and I've dropped the ball. Please forgive me. And then you set up a system, you work on it by the power of God to be a more faithful man or woman. Because God's going to build his church on faithful people. And I want to tell you, we need you to be faithful. Let's go to him in prayer.